My name is Emma Ryan. I am 16 years old. Today is November 25th, 2018, and I'm speaking with Rhiannon Palmerville, who is my mother. We are recording this interview in Bel Air, Michigan. What was it like growing up Native American in a big city?
It was normal, I guess. I don't think that being Native American was really a focal point of my childhood. And that was just, you know, a sort of a direct result of how my mother was raised by my grandmother, who, you know, moved down to mid-Michigan from Escanaba, where our reservation is.
Were you educated on Native culture and history in school?
No, not really. I mean, I managed to get the sort of bits and pieces of Native American culture and life through, like, history, but it wasn't really a focal point. Like, I don't ever remember it being a big part of history. You know, I feel like it was really kind of glossed over, and it was sort of the same sort of stuff that we learned about, you know, Europeans came over and Native Americans were here. That never really dove into Native American culture in general and Native American history.
What would you have liked to learn if you were educated on it?
Well, in high school?
Yes.
So, it's a tough question. I don't really know if I have a good answer for that. I think that had I been given a lot more information, I think that it would have made sense, or maybe it would have tied into what I was seeing from my cousins, who were more immersed in the Native American culture than I was, given that their parents really sought out the Native American and really kind of taught themselves the Native American culture more so than my mother did. I think that I would have had a greater appreciation for it, but I guess overall I would have liked to have learned more about the struggles and the struggles that they went through during the time frame, you know, within the past, 500 plus years. I would have liked to learn more about that and how my family ended up being on a reservation. In addition, I would have liked to learn more about the migration of Native Americans through the Americas.
Did you see yourself as a minority as a kid?
Never, no. And I guess I just didn't really, no, I never really saw myself a minor. I really felt like I was part of the community, and growing up, I don't know if that was just being a kid, but I felt like growing up really wasn't, we weren't really focused on, you know, being a different race and being a minority. I think we're just more or less concerned about being a kid, like going out, playing. You know, it never dawned on me that I was any different than other people, you know. Don't hear kind of a funny story?
I guess, yeah.
Maybe. So this is how one with my friends and my family, or my friends and my community, I felt like that I was when I was little. So I remember being really, really little. I had to have been maybe 6, 7, I want to say like 1st or 2nd grade. And my best friend, who was black, she had just gotten her hair done, and she'd gotten a Jerry curl. And I remember just being so enthralled by this like beautiful curly hair, and I'm like, oh my God, I need my hair to look like that. So I remember going home and I said to my mom, Mom, I want a Jerry curl in my hair. And I laugh about this now because it was that sort of innocence where I didn't realize, and every time she told me, like, no, you can't, you can get a perm, but you can't get that, I was so heartbroken. I was like, how dare my mother, like, not let me have a chair curl. And I was just so, like, defeated, and I just felt so bad. And I'd never done in my innocence, it never dawned on me that, you know, that I was different, that I couldn't do the same thing that she could because I was different, you know. And so even when those little moments hit at those times when I was little, it never occurred to me that I was different than all of my friends.
Do you see yourself as a minority now?
In a way, yes. Yeah. And it's only because of how people have responded to me that have made me aware of that. And of course, going through in my, you know, going through college and doing my own research and, you know, learning the Native American culture on my own. Yeah, I think I do feel a bit like a minority, just because it was made abundantly clear to me that I was different than everybody else.
When you moved from Grand Rapids to Northern Michigan, did you have a big culture shock?
An enormous culture shock. You know, I went from and Grand Rapids isn't a ginormous city. It's no New York City, but it's a big city, you know, for Michigan, and, or for any state, I guess, for that matter. But I lived in a very busy part of town. I lived just south of downtown Grand Rapids by like a couple miles, not very far. I lived on a very busy street. I was used to having cars, and I was used to having ambient light coming in from downtown. I was used to, you know, having a street smarts about me. Like, you don't talk to strangers, you stay within these couple blocks, you know, you have to be where you're supposed to be. And I was so used to having so many different people around me that I didn't know. You know, there was sort of, I don't know the right word I want to use there, but when I moved to Bel Air, people knew me before I met them, which was weird. And I think that maybe that's true for most kids who go into a new school. You know, maybe they're prepped and they, oh, you know, there's a new student coming and this is their name and this is where they come from. But this was different. You know, I really felt like people really knew me. But the biggest culture shock was that I was made immediate, like, I was immediately aware that the students saw me as somebody so incredibly different. Not different in being a new kid different, but different in how I look different. And I don't feel like I look different. That's the thing that's always stuck out to me, is that they made me feel like an outsider. I hate saying it, but they did. They made me feel like an outsider because their first questions were, what are you? What the hell did that mean? I had no idea what the heck they were talking about. You know, what are you? What do you mean, what am I? Like, are you Chinese? Are you Mexican? Like, do I look that different? And I guess I started looking around going, oh yeah, well, I guess I have tanner skin than everybody else, but not really. I mean, there was a girl who had tan skin like myself, but, you know, there was something, I guess, maybe exotic about me that really freaked him out a little bit, because it just, you know, it stayed for a while. The other things that really stood out to me as far as culture shock was that, yeah, I was the most exotic looking person there for a while. But also, everything was so small, it was so quiet. Remember when we moved into our house, I remember turning off the lights and we didn't have ambient light coming in from downtown. There was no ambient light coming in from downtown. It's a small town here that I moved to, and it was so quiet. I mean, even now I have like a noise machine that I sleep with because I was so used to having cars running past my window every single night. And you get used to that weird white noise, you know, just that noise outside your window. That was different. But also that everybody knew me. after a couple of weeks, like, parents knew who I was, and, you know, if I did anything bad, my parents found out about it so fast. I'm like, oh no, can't do anything wrong here. Nope, nothing. So I guess all in all, it was immensely different than what I was used to.
I guess you kind of answered this question, but I'll ask it anyways.
Okay.
How differently were you treated up here compared to the city?
Yep, I did answer that. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Yeah, that was a big question. And the interesting point to this is that that question, what are you? What are you? Has followed me in Bel Air, in fact, because I've moved away a couple times and ended up moving back to Bel Air. But that question remained even up until, gosh, just a few years ago in the last place that I worked. What are you? These grown people would walk up to me and they would say, what are you? Oh, this question again? What am I? Ugh, okay, well, I'm, you know, Native American and half Dutch, you know, so there you go. And then eventually try to make a joke out of it. But yeah, it's just, it's strange that I was just kind of treated differently, and people are so brazen and they're so bold to walk up to me. And, you know, as kids, yes, you know, I think that I look back on it now and I see it and it's kind of acceptable, maybe, you know, kids are curious and this is probably when they're going to be the most bold. So they do, they ask, oh, what are you? Well, I'm a girl. What are you? No, what are you? Are you Russian? What? Am I Russian? You know, so I've gotten a lot of responses to how I look, and it hasn't really died off. You know, that's the weird thing. I think that's part of living in northern Michigan is that. Just that.
Were you bullied in high school or treated differently?
Treated differently based on the fact that I was Native American, or just treated differently because I was a new kid?
Well, all of it.
I was treated differently. I moved from a moderate sized school down in Grand Rapids to a small school. A graduating class was 43 students, and only a small handful of those students really took me in as a friend or accepted me into their group. So I was just kind of not bullied so much, but just kind of left out, you know. And that kind of resonated even through some of the teachers, you know, almost like, well, because I didn't go all the way from kindergarten to 12th grade, you know, I was part of the group, but I wasn't really part of the group, if you know what I mean. And so, you know, people weren't apt to make friends with me really fast. And in the small group of kids that did make friends with me, you know, so, and will forever be grateful for them because of that, because they, you know, I think that maybe they saw themselves a little bit as an outcast as well. And that's why they kind of took me in, because a lot of everybody else, a lot of the other students, they had already made their friends and they were the popular kids well before I showed up. And so there's really no, you know, there's really no making friends with them because they had already had their friends, and they made it clear to me that they already had their friends. So that was kind of tough. But like I said, I ended up with a small group of really good friends, which is great for me. I like smaller groups of friends.
How did being treated differently change your views on how you should treat people?
You know, it's a weird thing. I think that's something that you kind of grow into, because it kind of hardens you a bit. I guess it's hard to explain this one. There's a hardness and a softness that are like juxtaposed next to each other. You know, I'm kind of I'm hard with people who tend to treat other people the way that I saw myself treated. So I have sort of this sort of like a grudgy hardness toward them, you know, kind of like I see what you're doing, and I remember people like you doing that same thing to me. So it's kind of like this weird sort of stubborn hardness, and so I tend to be unyielding and a little bit unforgiving with those people, and I find myself kind of falling into the same, you know, into their category and how those kids treated me. I kind of tend to treat them the same way. But the people that I see are being victimized, I guess, is a word you can say, and how I felt. Not victimized. I'd say they're just being mistreated and looked down on. And when I see those groups of people, you know, it my heart, you know, just tries to open up and tries to hold on to them and try to embrace them and say, hey, everything's going to be fine, you know. Been there, done that, and let me help you through this. And so I become more pliable, more plushy, and more willing to go out of myself and to help them.
Do you still experience discrimination as an adult in the professional workspace?
Yes, I do. And you know, and it's a little different. So being Native American, yes, I still get that "what are you" question. You know, grown people, like, "what are you?" Oh my gosh, I'm back in high school again. What do you mean, what am I? You know, and I guess kind of depending on the setting, I guess kind of depending on the day determines my reaction to that. So I wouldn't call that discrimination. I get discriminated against in different ways, and that's just being a woman. And it's really sad that, you know, it happens, and it's not uncommon, you know. So I'm more so discriminated against because of me being a woman. And at that, me being a woman in a profession that demands that I have to be hard, and I have to be hard and neutral at the same time. It's really a weird position. But the discrimination, again, is being a woman, but also being a fairly attractive woman, because people tend to believe that because I am those two things specifically and somewhat exotic looking, that I am pliable and that they can get away with stuff and that they can tell me what to do. And unfortunately, some of the life lessons that I've learned through my life, again, I get to that sort of stubborn hardness, that sort of holding a grudge and stubborn and hard, and then I become unyielding. So it's helped out a lot. It just becomes comical to me when people do that stuff, and you know, when they try to do that stuff to me, when they try to, you know, treat me as if I'm a woman, I don't know what I'm doing, or I'm a woman and I'm not that strong, you know, then, like I said, it becomes laughable, because then they realize very quickly, no, I may be all those, but I'm going to be the hardest person you're going to have to deal with for a while.
Having a daughter who is not only Native American, but queer as well, do you wonder or fear that she'll go through similar experiences as you did in high school?
I do and I don't. I do because it's a small town, but I don't because you've grown up with all of your friends since kindergarten. So everybody has seen you go through these changes and these life experiences. So yeah, it's going to be difficult, but it's not going to be, not in the way that it was difficult for me, because you're already immersed here. I think that you're also going to find that it's going to be a little bit easier for you as time goes on, because our world is changing. And there's a greater acceptance for things. You know, like I said, it's been years since somebody has said to me, "What are you?" You know, which to me shows that hopefully they're changing this perception of You're different. You're so different. Let me ask you. Let me be so bold and ask you. I think that our world's changing. I would love to believe that we're changing toward more acceptance. So I think that, yes, it's going to be difficult, but I feel like you've kind of already made it through those difficult times and the meaningful times, you know, through school, which can be sometimes really painful and hurtful. And you struggle a lot to get to this point where you have decided that you're going to be unapologetic in who you are. And it's only going to get better from here because, like I said, hopefully things are changing in the right direction. Right, world?
Would you consider Latinos to be Native American?
Ooh, yes. Absolutely. That was one of the things that, and if you don't mind me saying this, but this was a question that I had asked you a long time ago, and this was back when, you know, when the, you know, the sort of political strife started happening, and this immigration bans, and I remember sitting down and asking you this because I can't remember what happened. Something happened at school, something just these, but for some reason I remember asking you the same question, you know, do you think that Mexicans are Native American? And I remember you had said, I don't know. And so I had said, you know, think about it, Emma, we're, you know, Native Americans, like, do you, you know, I kind of laid it out for you and kind of went through the migration of the Native people through the Americas, and then I asked you that question again, and you said yes. So yeah, I believe 100% that Latinos and, you know, all the countries in South America and Mexico, North America, that we're all Native American. You know, I think that sometimes I feel like people don't understand that, and I think that's where history is doing a great population a disservice, that people don't understand that these people are all Native Americans, that they are not from another country. They're of this country. They are of this land. And again, history is kind of doing us a disservice when we're not teaching everybody that, that they're not different.
Considering that Latinos and Native Americans have the same blood, how do you feel about the anti-immigration laws and the quote-unquote illegal immigrants?
Again, I'm sorry to say this, but I have very strong feelings about this. I don't like it. I think it's pretty crazy, pretty ridiculous. I think that it's kind of short-sighted. And again, I think that people tend to forget history again, where we're doing a great disservice to our youth by not giving them a good, thorough history education, because the one reason why the Native American populations dwindled over the past 500 years has been because of European settlers coming in. Big part of the United States of America, it's actually all of it, was due to European immigrants coming over. So to me, it's just kind of ridiculous that all of a sudden we're having this big immigration ban. Like, what? Wait a minute. You know, this all started because you were immigrating to the Americas. We have forgotten part of our history here. So it just seems bizarre to me.
Why do you believe that a lot of Native and Latin history has been forgotten?
That's because I feel like it's been glossed over a lot. I feel like for centuries, Native American culture has been really pushed aside, and it's really been looked down upon. I mean, the whole reason why I don't know a lot about my own Native American history and culture is that my grandmother move from the reservation, move to mid-Michigan, to a bigger city, and being Native American, not really having a job, you know, she had to move to a bigger city, she had to live in a bad part of the city. My mother went to an all-black school where, you know, she's Native American 100%, and she goes to, and it wasn't all-black because of the circumstance, it was just happened to be that it was majority of black students there, and so she was persecuted, and she was, you know, constantly beat up and bullied because she's not black, and she's not white, and she's this kind of in-between phase, and so she kind of looked at it as being so bad that I'm not teaching my kids about this, and my grandmother saw how her children were being treated, and so she kind of did the same thing, just kind of pushed it aside. Whenever I asked my grandmother about it, it's like, grandmother, you know, teach me the language, because she could speak the native language, and she taught me one word, and that was it, and it was so looked down upon that they pushed it aside because it wasn't good, it was bad. You know, you don't fit in if you know about it, you know. But I think that there's enough and a large population of the Native American culture, Native American people who embraced it, and they're keeping it, they're perpetuating it. And I so honor them for that because they got a different sort of lifestyle than I did. And I was the weak one that, you know, kind of grappling with it a bit. You know, I don't know how to handle it.
Do you believe that Native history is important to our American culture currently?
100%. I think it is 100%. I think that there's so much that the Native American culture has, you know, basically, there's so much about the Native American culture that Americans don't realize was a big part of, you know, the United States coming together. You know, and we look around and we see states and lands and terms that are coming from Native American languages, and there's, you know, certain parts of our, you know, legislature and laws and constitution. I mean, there's stuff that was pulled from Native Americans, on top of the fact that there's a lot of things that we look as useful things here that were because of the Native Americans. I mean, there's certain foods and fruits and medical treatments and, you know, medicines, and, you know, so I think that it would be immensely helpful, I think, if people actually learned about it, to understand that this is not all coming from European nations, that this is a pretty well integrated United States and, you know, Canada and Mexico and South American states. So,
and one final question. Uh-huh. What advice do you have for teenagers who might feel outcasted from society?
That's a tough one. What advice do I have to give to them? If you feel outcasted, I think the best thing to do is do your research on yourself. Do some self-analyzing. Dive into why it is. I think that doing come at sort of soul searching to see, you know, why you feel that way, and analyze the situation. Is it because you're feeling that way because you're living in a small town that doesn't quite understand you? My advice is then, you know, get over to the next town bigger. You know, like for you, for instance, you know, living in Bel Air, and you can go to Traverse City. You know, that's the next town over. It's 45 minutes away. But what happened to you when you went over there and you started your career tech, your Front Street Writers program? You found a group of people that were similar to you, similar interests, you know, similar types of people. And the way that I saw it was that you found your people. You were like, I remember coming home after the first couple of days, like, I love using this term, but you're like vibrating, like, oh my God, Mom, like, I found my people. I'm so excited. Oh my gosh. Like, they get it. They understand. So yeah, get out there, find your people. But second of all, don't let resentment and hatred build up if you're feeling outcasted. You know, don't let that be part of what makes you. You know, don't let that be your future you. You know, like I said, do some self-analyzing and figure out what's happening. What's the situation? Like, do you want to be an outcast? You just, you know, that's the other thing too. I often feel like sometimes I see that in you sometimes where you like make yourself an outcast just to make sure that people realize that, listen, I'm over here. You've grown up with me, but I'm going to be different from you because, you know, there's not enough culture here. So I'm going to be the culture until we all get out of high school. But don't let that bring you down. You know, don't fall into it. You know, if it's sort of like self outcasting, you know, let some people in. Okay. And then find all the people that dig you and, you know, rely on them. Let them try to help you a little bit. Don't build up a brick wall. So there.
All right. Thank you.
You are so welcome.